This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
There was something in the air that night. The stars.
I had no idea where you were going with this, but now I know, because the University of Colorado names Fernando Lovo the new director of athletics. Thanks, Mike. Well done. Joining me now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, my friend, this...
Okay, that was really good, by the way. Congratulations. Well done, all of you.
Yeah. Hey, for once, Mark, when it comes to great ideas, I had nothing to do with it. I had little to do. He shocked me. He brought it up. So well done by Michael. He's getting better.
Good job, Michael.
You know, it's
that was good.
Mark, initial reactions to this? Because we know for Rick George, he's still going to be the AD still for a bit here. But you're
just a few more days.
Just a couple days, right? Yeah, that's right. We are at the end of the year. Thoughts here? I mean, I was looking at his resume, man. Everywhere he goes, he just keeps getting better and better as he goes.
Well, yeah, I'm excited about it. You know, I don't know a great deal about him. I've made a couple of phone calls here the last couple of days after, you know, hearing about what was potentially coming. And listen, he's a very accomplished guy. You know, he's only 37 years old, so he's packed a lot of experience into, you know, a few years. Although, you know, I was thinking about it. I think I was 36 or 37 when I got here as well, and I thought I was very veteran at that point in time. And now, of course, 22 years later, I look back and go, yeah, what a kid that I was at that point in time. But, where he's been. Look at where he's been. He's been at Florida. He's been at Texas. Been at Ohio State. Been with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And so he has been at some very high-level places and had great success every place he's gone. And then, boy, you can't argue with what he did the last nearly 13 months in New Mexico.
Right.
I mean, the fundraising, the success they had. Jason Eck was a fantastic hire as the football coach. Obviously, everyone in the Mountain West knows that. The basketball coach that he hired is everyone I know raves about him. And so, it's exciting. I think you look at it and you say, this guy has had a great deal of professional success every place he's gone. What he did when he finally rose to the helm at New Mexico was outstanding. And so, man, bring it on. Let's see what he can do at the University of Colorado.
Well, it seems like he has the right mix. I mean, you mentioned the money-raising side of things, but also just the hiring and finding you with Eck. I mean, just making sure he's got the business side of it down and learned a lot of that. And now also, and you surround yourself with good people, too, that help you kind of make those hires. But it sounds like he's that kind of that perfect mix that we're seeing in some colleges where they go straight for, like CSU up here, they went for more of a business guy that didn't really have an athletics background. This seems like the perfect 1-2 punch.
Well, you like to think so. You know, that Jason Eck hire, that's going to plucking somebody off the Gary Barnett tree. You know, he's got a history with Gary, kind of gave him his start in coaching. And so, you know, he's made some great decisions, you know. And right now, yes, you have to be able to attend to both sides. I don't think you want to be, you know, lean too far on the business side, too far on the athletic side. This thing is getting so diverse and interesting right now. I think you need to have the understanding on how things work, how everything goes hand in hand, right? And so, obviously, one of the things that Fernando Lovo is going to have to attend to here in the not-too-distant future from a leadership standpoint, with the changing tides of college athletics, is, you know, what's going to happen? Is there going to be a super conference? What does this mean? What does the transition look like? How are the, you know, the shuffling of conferences going to look and all that? That, you know, and the media rights to go along with that. And so that's going to be one of the great challenges that he is going to have to face and every other athletic director at university in the country. And so, you know, you hope that his history and what he's done is going to, you know, lend its way to helping him, you know, kind of guide those troubled waters, if you will, down the stretch. But, yeah, I mean, you know, everything you see about the guy at this point, you go, yeah, why not? Let's say I want that here at Colorado. I want a guy that makes great hires. I want a guy that's a great fundraiser. I want a guy that's dynamic in terms of his personality and how he interacts with fans and student athletes. And so he seems to check all the boxes.
Were you surprised at, I mean, because to me it seems like this moved almost, it's going to be seamless. It's going to be perfect. You know, I wondered there for a while if they're going to just be on that search a little bit longer, but man, they got after it and they made the hire before, a few days before. But still, we've seen programs in the past where they move on or an athletic director moves on, and it's a long process to find out who's going to take over.
Well, you know, when the announcement by Rick was made, and the indication coming out from Chancellor Justin Schwartz was that he wanted to have this put to bed by January 1. And at the time I thought, boy, that's a pretty aggressive game plan right there, you know, to your point. Because a lot of times there's a search that goes on and you identify a handful of people and you have various conversations and you think you might be, you know, focusing on person A, and then person A all of a sudden decides, yeah, I don't want to be there. Maybe it's not a good marriage in that regard. And so, you know, I wondered about how quickly they could turn this thing around. Now, Justin Schwartz, I'll tell you this. You know, he went out, obviously he used a search firm, as everyone does in this day and age, to help identify candidates. And by everything that I understand, Chancellor Schwartz was, you know, he was, I'm not going to say a one-man team, but he was the guy that was leading the charge here. And if you notice, there were no leaks in this thing. Which is always interesting to me, right? Because in this day and age, when there are searches for football, basketball coaches, athletic directors, we all seem to kind of start hearing names. And I'll be honest with you, I was hearing nothing. And so the chancellor did a great job of keeping a very tight ship, identifying his guy, and then nailing down his guy in very short order, and did so very covertly. And I think that speaks to you know, what he did from a search standpoint. And like I said, everything you see about, you know, Fernando Lobo, who's got a great name, by the way, just kind of flows.
It
Fernando
does.
Fernando Lobo.
Yeah.
Kind of flows off the tongue. And I'm gonna give Rick George a hard time about that. Your near name and neighbor's name is never fun to say, Rick George. That's not fun. Fernando Lobo is fun for me to say.
There's a lot of things you could do with that. I mean,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you guys have already proven that today with what Michael did. And so, I mean, you know, I just think it the search went well from all, you know, standpoints, and they got their guy very quickly. He's going to be in you know, I know he's going to officially start on the 1st. I don't think they expect him into town until like the 2nd or 3rd or something. So here in just a few days, right after the 1st of the year holiday, I think we'll find him in town, and then the press conference on Monday, and he and I are supposed to do some kind of interview, I guess, at some point here in the very near future, and so I'm looking forward to that and seeing what he does. He's going to hit the ground running, no doubt about that.
Well, I'm sure it'll be a great interview, just like Mark yesterday. It was a great broadcast. You did a wonderful job. I actually watched the game twice.
Now,
I did. Well, I was watching it in spurts because I was with my child. You know, you know my story, and he's it's go time. So I'm with him all day. So I'm watching it in spurts, and then I see the result. This looked like a fantastic game. So I went back and watched it last night. So I got to hear you twice on the broadcast.
Well,
I could almost recite that entire broadcast.
I appreciate your kind words, and it was a good game to call. There's no doubt about that. You know, you've heard me say this a million times. I've always tell people I'm in the interesting business. What I want is interesting. That was an interesting game to call. Now, in terms of my position, did it end up going the direction that you know, was beneficial to me? No. But congratulations to Coach Smiley and UNC. I thought they came in and played phenomenal. And the moment, the game, the matchup, the atmosphere didn't bother the Bears at all. They came in. You know, every once in a while you can look at a game and say, Colorado lost that game. Well, yesterday was a game. The UNC Bears won that basketball game. Give them full credit. They outplayed Colorado. They won. And Dinker was phenomenal in that ball game. I mean, he was just out of his mind, and good for him, and congratulations to the Bears. I think you give them full credit on this entire thing, and Colorado's licking its wounds and got better figure out how to play some defense at some point in time.
And, Mark, when you and I talked last week, you know, I brought up Brock Wisney. Yep. I had no clue Quinn was going to play. He broke his hand like 4 weeks ago.
Right.
And when I first heard it, we actually had Brock in studio, and I'm asking him about it off the air, and he's like, I can't really say anything, but and so I'm like, wait, season ending? He's like, I can't say anything. So that's where my brain was going. I didn't expect him, certainly not back for this game.
Well, remember, that's happened to CU two games in a row now. Stanford had their you know, freshman potential All-American guard come back for that ball game, and he torched Colorado for, what, 31 or whatever it was. And then Denker comes in and drops his, what, 31 or 32, whatever it was yesterday, and was phenomenal in that game. I was so impressed with him, although as hard as he played and the intelligence with it he played. And so, like I said, you're not going to find me saying anything but rave reviews for what UNC did there, and I hope they go on and win the Big Sky Championship and on and on and on. And for Colorado, like I said, this Buffs team better figure out that you have to play defense, and you have to do so at a high level, and you have to do so consistently. Here about 2-3 weeks ago, one night, as typically happens with the guys I broadcast with, you know, Gary and I go back and forth about stuff all the time, and Scott and I do the same thing. And Wilkie texts me one night here, and Colorado was still undefeated at this point in time. I think it was right before the CSU game. And Scott texts me one night, and he says, "Do you know what the difference between our team right now and the other teams in the Big 12?" And I wrote back, and I said, "What?" And he said, "The other teams are so intentional and intense on defense." He said, "Our young guys have got to figure that out." And he was absolutely correct. And what's happened now? In the last five games, Colorado's gone 2-3. You lose at Colorado State, you lose to Stanford, you lose to Northern Colorado, and you do so all in the same fashion. All three of those games, Brady, Colorado's offensive numbers were good enough to win. You score 81 points in a college basketball game, you should win the college basketball game. And they didn't play defense because UNC shot 74% in the second half, shot over 50% from downtown. Colorado's defense was not intense enough. And this team better figure it out, because on Saturday we're jumping into the deep end of the pool here in Big 12 play at Arizona State, and it's only going to get tougher.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, I had a listener email me this morning the box score from that game. What was it, 19? What year was the last time the Bears? 1936. I actually have the box score. He sent me everything. Shout out to Ned. He sent me like the stories from both, like one paper that was obviously more of a CU paper, yeah, than one paper that was more of a UNC paper.
Where do you even find a box score from 1936, for goodness sake?
I don't know, but I've got it right here, and I can't even really. It's weird. It's Colorado 23, Greeley State 25. High scoring game, Mark. That would have been a fun one for you. And I'm looking at Colorado's box score, and they only had five guys that registered a stat. So apparently they weren't very deep that year. So they have five dudes.
Way. Yeah, a lot of teams are that way. Yeah, I think the tweet that won the day yesterday for me came from a UNC fan, and it made me laugh out loud. I think UNC put out, you know, obviously their as all schools do, their tweet about, "Hey, we won." You know, it's the graphic for them winning the game, and somebody tweets out and says, "Nobody, and I mean nobody, has a 90-year reign over the University of Northern Colorado." I thought that was very,
that's
very
pretty
funny.
Good. That is very good. Well, it was a great game overall. Two really fun teams that I think are, you know, if the Buffs can figure their stuff out, and we'll see how this goes. But Mark, excellent work on the broadcast, and Happy New Year, my friend. We'll hope to talk to you next week.
I look forward to it. Happy New Year to all your listeners as well. We'll see you.
All right, man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Yeah, no one's running. No one has a rivalry over the Bears where they're going to win over 90 years. No way in hell that's happening. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
For Avalanche games and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.